Okay. Do you want to introduce us?
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Sundays at Sarah's. My name's Sarah.
My name's Marissa.
I'm Dania.
Yeah, we have guests.
We have a special guest again. Thank you for joining us on another episode.
Yeah. We're still missing Miriam.
The people asked
Shout
for
out
it.
To Miriam in Germany.
The people asked for me and I'm here.
Yeah, you're here.
And we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What is that?
Yeah, you're here.
I've been here.
Okay. So today, to warm us up for this episode, we're going to be asking Dania a few questions about her and her work. Do you want to give a little brief intro about you?
Sorry, I'm really nervous.
Okay. Nervous.
Well, my name is Dania. I am a student, still currently. And I just draw. That was so lame.
No,
but
you're,
okay.
You've done lithos?
Well,
or
yeah,
you're a printmaker, you're
some
a drawer.
Some prints.
Drawer.
I'm a drawer full of surprises. I like.
Fashion icon.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Tall. Okay.
I'm a model.
Tall model who graces the Fox Fine Arts halls with her
booty.
Elegance and
her unpreparedness. I'm always asking
and hot Cheetos
and hot Cheetos,
hot Cheetos and her net bag of rocks.
So could you tell us about that bag of rocks and
okay.
what it was about?
So lately I've been trying to be more conceptual and I've been trying to print on different materials. So the time that Marissa saw me walking with a bag of rocks, they weren't even rocks, they were more cement blocks that my dad broke from our curb, and it was, I wanted to deal with, like, you know, the heaviness of a father-daughter relationship, how you kind of carry that with you for your whole life, and it was also kind of a performance because I was really, really sore for, like, the next few days. Mm-hmm. And every time I felt that pain, it reminded me, like, why did my dad have to break that curb? Or, like, why is he always destroying things in our house? So then that's what that work was about. And then I, what would you call it, like, decoupaged on the rock or collaged it?
Shinkling.
I mean, I feel like remember when I called it Shea Kalei? The drag queen. I feel like that's more paper now. Like, you
can do a paper onto anything.
I feel like decoupage is like this, like the crafty, like when, like crafty ladies glue like stuff like on boxes and stuff, like images.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put like glue over it and stuff.
Oh,
I think that's what Kim, our professor, told me, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I did a couple of prints that were like, my drawings were just like lines and like
writing,
a lot of writing. Yeah. My emotions, I feel like my whole work is just about my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And like figuring that out and like asking myself a lot of questions and like trying to resolve them on the paper or like whatever I'm drawing. So it's very like intimate in that way.
I remember we had a critique once and you were talking about how it's heavy going back into that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
That you were in.
Mm-hmm.
And I've experienced that too. I think you have as well.
Yeah.
Marissa. I wasn't calling Miriam.
We just met her.
Yeah, how it's hard going back into that state of mind.
Yeah.
Have you ever had it where you did something so laborious about something and then they ask you about it later on? You're like, I don't even know what that was about. Or
I think so. I think that, I don't know if you guys remember. I don't think I had you for class yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I did these drawings maybe like last year. And it was, I think, when I had, like, my breakthrough epiphany of, like, what I wanted my work to. Like, I was understanding my work a lot, and I, whenever I would work in class, this was, like, after, like, a breakup that I had that really affected me in, like, just a lot, in so many ways. And I would do so much mark making, like, at all times. Like, I remember that I was working, like, on this page that I would fold, and, like, I would carry it in my backpack, and then I would take it out, like, when I was in break. And, like, I remember seeing my ex, like, or I would hang out, like, for my break, and I remember just making, like, super anxious marks. And it was really heavy, because then I had to go to class, and I had to, like, get in that mindset, like, okay, this imagery, like, opens up all of these feelings of the past and whatever. And, like, now, like, when we were submitting for the student show, I saw a lot of that work, and I was like, what was I thinking? Like, some of the stuff that I wrote, like, just seems so, I'm so detached from them, but I, like, I understand what I was going through. And, like, there's a lot of things that, like, are really, were very, very repetitive. And, like, the little anxiety marks, and, like, tapping into that really, like, it makes me, like, straight up anxious and, like, sad. And, like, during crit, when I had to talk about it, I would get, like, really emotional and, like, I don't know. But, yeah, it does have that effect.
Yeah. But you incorporate a lot of writing in your work, which kind of segues into the topic for today, which is going to be text in our work, since we all have incorporated text in one way or another into our artwork. I'm just going to go ahead and ask an overall question. Why do you guys choose to add text into your work? Marisa, would you like to go first?
I think for me, like, I've talked about my drawings being visual diaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same way that, like, when I'm writing down notes for a class or I'm writing something down in a journal, I might doodle on the page or I might, like, make some squiggle marks or draw a flower, is kind of the same way that I use text in my drawing compositions, where the text becomes the doodle and the images are the text. Like, it just switches roles. And I think, like, compositionally, it helps the pieces. I'm also trying to create kind of a, I don't, how can I say, like, I think because sometimes my work feels very vague that I want to give clues to the viewer mm-hmm. without spelling everything out that I would in a diary. Mm-hmm. And also sometimes for me, because language is so important to me, and it's like mm-hmm. something, well, not just language, but communication, discussion, all these kind of internal dialogues, family dialogues, friend, like, these conversations you have with other people are so important to me and to my work that I am also trying to convey this frustration that I have with my own struggles with language barriers. And, like I've mentioned before, you know, growing up in, you know, white suburb areas, being Mexican-American, never being, you know, taught how to speak Spanish, the kind of, maybe also relationship barriers that language barriers cause, like, a lot of guilt and shame that I have, like, not speaking to my abuelitos as much as I should have or would have if I wasn't so embarrassed of the fact that I didn't speak Spanish, or that if I tried to, that I wasn't going to be made fun of by, you know, my cousins or my tíos. Even if it was, like, no harm, no foul, for me, it was, like, something I took that I had, obviously, a lot of shame about. And so, rather than, like, work through those things, I was just very much like, well, I'm just not going to speak at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I regret a lot of that. So I'm trying to convey also, when I use text in my drawings, a lot of times I'll cover up certain sections of it, mm-hmm. or I'll make the text, like, I'll make it backwards, mm-hmm. or I'll flip it, or I'll layer things on top of it so that I'm also making an obstruction for the viewer, similar to the obstructions I've had with communicating with others.
Yeah. Do you want to answer?
I think that what you said and the last part, that you kind of hide your text, I think that I relate to that, because I feel like that's kind of what I do. And I didn't really understand it, but I like that, like, you know that it's, like, about, like, your language barrier and, like, kind of being shy about it and, like, mm-hmm. not having that confidence to go all the way through with it. And I feel like with me, when I do hide, like, certain things or, like, writings that I have, it's just, like, feelings that I have that I don't want anybody to know about. And I guess it's also, like, that communication that... I mean, it is important to me, but I don't really practice it that much. And I feel like that's what's held me back into, like, figuring all of these emotions with other people and, like, relationships. So, like, I kind of am hiding, like, all those things from the viewer also, because I don't want them to, like, know what I'm writing and, like, what I'm feeling, because it's, like, very vulnerable things that, like, I tell myself. And a lot of it realize that it's, like, things that I say to myself, and, like, those things are pretty harsh, and, like, I, like, try to erase them or, like, layer, like, another word on top of it, or, like, mm-hmm. not really be clear, because I don't want to, like, admit to the world that I'm, like, so ugly with myself and how I process, like, all of these mm-hmm. emotions.
Yeah.
So I think, like, that's one part of that. Similarities.
For me, the reason I choose to add text is because I do consider it as a form of mark, maybe making how Marissa was saying how mm-hmm. it incorporates into the whole composition of the piece, but also because I'm always writing or thinking of things to write,
mm-hmm.
and the reason I choose text as well is because some things are better said than shown, but also when, because of that, and because I also think that the text is a part of what I'm showing, I don't want to show everything.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure you guys have tried reading some of my stuff, and it's not always clear, or it's very abrupt. I went through this phase where I was very angry, and I was thinking about a lot of things, and they're very abrupt things, very in your face and very like harsh, and I really like that harshness with the kind of quiet work that I have and that I do. Like collecting trash is something, like, I like things that are often like dismissed or like forgotten or not taken into account in the bigger picture. And then putting these abrupt things on top, like a sort of wall impeding this object to come forward, or this sort of feeling that I was getting from a certain object, or from the just making the piece itself, the certain piece that was coming through. And I don't know, a lot of things that I did are heavily related to conversations or like things that I've had or things that I've overheard. Mm-hmm. And that's why I also have to put it down on paper, because it is a release.
Mm-hmm.
Like how we were saying in the pre-topic earlier, is how it's hard being in that moment or coming back to that moment, because that moment was so heavy at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were times where I felt so heavy that I just couldn't hold the weight anymore, and I needed mm-hmm. to put it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it would go, is onto my work. But like Marissa and you guys, I don't make it so obvious as to what I'm writing. I don't write the whole thing. I don't spell it out. I just put in like the tasty bits,
yeah.
or like something that would confuse the viewer even more, because in reality I don't want anyone to know anything about
yeah.
what I'm really saying.
Mm-hmm.
Or really like trying to go through with my work. Which kind of goes to the next question, is how do you guys choose what to write?
Yeah. I was gonna like ask you that, like if your images, like the images that you include,
me or are you saying
yeah.
us in general? Me.
I mean both of you. Like, does the writing correlate with that, or is it like a completely different part of the composition, like a whole different
mm-hmm.
image, like treated as a whole different image, or is it like here's the object and this is the writing that goes along with it, like? Do you get it?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I've done a mixture
like a clue type of thing.
Yeah, I've done a mixture of the things. So, for example,
I was trying to think
on one side of the spectrum where it was text and something that had nothing to do with it was the whole series I did of the 108 pieces of trash that I found in the questions.
Yeah.
Those questions had nothing to do with the trash. I just wanted to. It was more like a. Like a practice for me to see how many questions can I really come up with something for something and how absurd can I make them.
Yeah.
And it, in some way, it did heighten the interest between the object and the questions, but it was more like how do these questions correlate to the object and really confuse or making the viewer think about how do they really correlate together and if they even correlate. So that's one side of the spectrum. And then there's another side of the spectrum where right now I'm thinking about the sink piece that I did. It was a collage where it had a sink that was cracked. And then on the other side of the collage, it was black with, I don't know what it was. But it said, en cuanto llegues a la casa.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, broken sink, once you get home, put one and one together, you get something, right? So, I mean, And even then, I don't feel like it's that overt, but it's like, if you take the time to look at the image and read the text, sometimes you can get the correlation. I think that's the most overt I've been, but, oh my gosh, my fucking solo show. Did you guys read
which was amazing.
Did you guys read all the crap that I wrote? I was going through it. Like,
yeah, I remember your really like your back panel with the black
I can't believe I put that whatever it's fine.
With the black paper
I think the one that hurt me the most was the sarcastically apologizing for things.
Yeah, there was like which I mean I guess a lot of that was about like the text.
Yeah, that's when the image makes no sense, and then it's the text that carries the weight.
Yeah.
See, it's like a variations. So back to the question I asked earlier, how do you guys choose what to write?
I think, well, like, for me, I'm thinking a lot of, like, expressions that I hear in the household or, like, through my youth. And maybe specific expressions that people might be able to relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think words can become very symbolic and can create a relationship with the viewer. Like, when I was working on the fabric piece, like, the part that it was, like, por mi culpa,
yeah,
like,
the one
things,
that,
yeah,
yeah,
things
yeah.
that come from, like, you know, Catholicism, things that come from, like, you know, when you're in the backyard, when your parents are making coffee, when you're arguing with your siblings. But also, like, a lot of it for me, too, is that, like, taking kind of, I guess, kind of like you, like, taking certain phrases out of context and giving them new, like, I'm trying to think of, like, one example that I can give. And this was, like, a different piece because it was, like, when I was using text from the dog training books.
Uh-huh.
Where it was, like, very, if I, which I did, like, if I exempted the word dog from a lot of, like, this training from this old manual, that a lot of the language in it and I feel like the character of the kind of direction it's giving can be flipped. And, like, if you're someone who's in a privileged position, you're probably gonna make the assumption that this is, like, an animal training book versus, like, someone who is a marginalized group might read it and think, like, oh, this is a white person in power telling a marginalized community how to behave, how to react, like, don't underestimate them, like, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I try to do that also, like, sometimes with, and that was, like, a completely separate project from a lot of the stuff that I've worked on since then, but a lot of it having to do with, like, learning Spanish, like, getting those little texts, what are they called, like, little books that you can flip through where it's like you fill in the blank or like you're learning like just
like
how
workbooks.
You learn like workbooks but for learning a new language and like you know repeating phrases over and over so that it becomes something that sticks and I think I don't want to say like part of it is like me trying to prove my Mexican identity but sometimes it does feel like that where I'm like oh like I need to, like, show everyone all the Spanish that I know, all the Spanish that I'm learning, that I am, like, a part of this. And it's not really, like, the intention, but sometimes I feel like, what's the word? consciously, like, that's what happens, because, mm-hmm. like, when, I feel like if I have a conversation with someone for the first time, they might not get it right away that I'm Mexican-American, like, you know, they might not know that I speak Spanish. When I speak Spanish, you might not think that, because it's not that good, you know, I don't have the accent. So I feel like a lot of it is, like, trying to prove that in my work. But I don't want to be proving my identity. I want to be creating conversation that there are, like, people in between. Mm-hmm. And that it's not a good or bad thing, but that a lot of us experience shame because of it. And we don't need people to tell us, like, or make us feel other.
Yeah.
And a lot of the conversation in my work is about being the other. And I think that's really important for me to incorporate with the drawings.
Mm-hmm.
Did you answer the question? How do you choose the text?
Oh, no. Did I? No. Did I?
I don't think so. I mean, we'll kind of round back to it. We'll do that in a sec.
The way that I choose to write text, it takes me a while because a lot of the times I feel like I'm writing things that are so dumb and, like, of course I would write that. Of course someone would write that. And I feel, like, very, like, cliche. So I have to write... I pre-write everything and, like, notes everywhere. And a lot of the times I lose them, which is great for when I need something. I just look somewhere and I have notes. But to choose it, I don't know. I have to... It's... For me, it's very intuitive what I write and how I write it. And what I choose to write it with and show it with. I'm still trying to understand exactly the way that I work and why I work the way that I do. But I know it's very intuitive and it has a lot to do with, like, how I react to things and how I take things. Because, I mean, we had this whole spooky story session before and I'm, like, in the moment, I don't react, but I do suffer consequences afterwards. And that the spooky stories can come and go. But, like, things in my life, I don't react in the moment, but, like, I still suffer the consequences much later. And it's really, like, me being able to think back. Like, hindsight is always 20/20. Me thinking back, like, oh, what could have been said or what was said that really meant something else and things that I misinterpreted and interpreted. And then that goes to how I'm working now with the whole identity thing, like, is the way that the situations that I've come across, have they formed my identity? And those kind of conversations I have with myself and things that kind of just pop up in my mind, like, the other day, what did I have in my mind? Like, Camarón, pelón, tú quieres camarón? Like, random ass songs, like, get stuck in my head. Or, like, mm-hmm. for the longest time, I had the tongue twister stuck in my head, like, Cuando cuentas cuentos one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for the longest time, I had... Do y'all want me to say it?
Yes.
I have to... Should I say them? Or is it lame?
Just
say
them.
No, okay. Just say...
I feel like...
No. Is it lame? Why?
I don't know. There's the... Cuando cuentas cuentos, cuenta cuántos cuentos, cuentas. Porque cuando cuentas cuentos, nunca cuentas cuántos cuentos, cuentas. And then there's the El Cerro de Parangara que tiene mi corazón, siquiera Parangara que tiene mi corazón, que es Parangara que tiene mi corazón, gran cerro de Parangara. I didn't say that one right. But, like, those are one... I remember, like, for the longest time in my childhood, my mom taught me those, like, avidly taught me those. And I feel like that's the most time I've ever spent with my mom, like, her writing down the tongue twisters and,
mm-hmm.
like, and it's those things, like, it's not just random writings and it's not just, like, random things that people say, but it's things that really impacted me and I carry on and live with the consequences later. Good, bad, neutral. That's how I choose my writing.
Well, the way that I choose my words, I think mine do kind of correlate with the images.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever that image... that makes me feel, but, like, why I'm using that image or, like, the feeling that I had when I, like, see that, I don't know, like, whatever it reminds me of or, like, whatever feeling that I'm having or, like, emotion, I'll just, like, write it down without really thinking about it too much. Like, literally, like, a journal, like, I'll, like, write down, like, you suck or, like, stuff like that. And then sometimes I'll leave it, like, really visible and sometimes no. But I think that I don't really, like, overthink it that much. Yeah, like, I feel like it doesn't really... Like, I guess it does affect the image. Like, if you saw it without, like, the... Like, what I write. But I know, there's really no... Sorry, like, I really don't, like...
You just write.
I just write it out. And then afterwards is when I'm like, oh, shit, like, scratch it out. Or, like, why did I write that or whatever.
So then how do you choose what to scratch out?
I guess parts that are, like, very vulnerable or that say too much about whatever, like, it is I'm, like, trying or whatever about. Because I also do want to keep that, like, those questions, like, why would she cross this out, or, like, does this go with the image, which it does, but, like, they don't know that, because it could be completely unrelated to somebody else that isn't me, so I guess it's, like, really, really personal.
Do you guys have a piece that you feel very proud of that incorporates text well?
No.
Stop. You don't? I feel the Por Mi Culpa one was very strong.
The quilt was really good.
Something that you wrap around yourself, but it says, por mi culpa, por mi grande culpa. Like, I don't know, that just blew my mind.
That was good.
Thank you. No. I don't know. I think, like, when I made the transition from just, like, writing out text to embroidering it so that it felt more long-lasting and impactful, that was, like, an overall decision that I felt very, like, confident and strong about. But, it, like, I don't know. Like, I'm very hard. We're all very hard on ourselves. And, like, I don't look back at, like, a lot of my work and think, like, that was great. Like, that was one of my strong pieces. I just feel kind of, like... indifference towards a lot of them because I'm like never satisfied with the way things come out, or they could have been drawn better, could have been executed better, there could have been more. Like, I'm always like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, there's nothing in my head that sticks out except for maybe like the fabric piece, the white one with like the
white acre.
Yeah, the white acre piece. Only because like a lot of it was like, that was the first time that I only used text without any other like traditional mark making or images.
Yeah.
And like, I still felt like it was a strong piece, and that there were things that were like conveyed and easy to understand, but also like not so straightforward with the way that I was trying to play with certain phrases. But no, I think just like the transition from only like written text to embroidery.
That makes sense. I think for me it was that body of work that I like mentioned earlier that like was very riveting to me. I did this piece where I like wrote over and over again, like, call me, and I don't know, just every time I would write it I would get sadder and sadder and sadder and sadder, but I really wanted to fill like a certain amount of space. And then I think the other parts is, like, you never do or something like that.
Is it the one that you did on a receipt?
Yeah. I love that. It's, like, two receipts, and then it's, like, tracing paper over it. And I don't know. I think that piece really encapsulates that whole part, like, body of work. And it's so straightforward, and like it's what I was thinking about, and it's like what
and
I
the
was
repetition
like,
of it, where yeah, it becomes it was more like long lasting and yeah, impactful.
And then like a part of it is like super obsessive and just like in it constantly. So I think that one is really, I'm really satisfied with that one. And then right now, I'm working on these two pillowcases. One was my dad's, and one was my mom's, and I'm doing like this whole thing about like toxic relationships, and I wrote on like one half, like on the left side, it says, well, the whole phrase is, recordar es volver a, volver a amputarse, which I think,
to remember is to relive,
is like to get angry again, basically. And I feel like that's the most direct apart from that other piece that I've been with, like, what I'm trying to convey, because I feel like that's where a lot of, like, problems come from, like, in a relationship that isn't really doing so good. Because mm-hmm. then you, like, you start with, like, a small-scale problem, and then it, like, escalates. Like, you bring up all of these things from the past, and you're just, like, getting angry on your own for, like, the sake of, like, you just remembering and getting angry. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's also, like, successful for me, I think.
Mm-hmm. The last time I felt success.
Wow.
I mean,
so subtle.
Yeah, was the 108 pieces, the trash with the questions, because it was so obsessive. It was so satisfying for me to fill out each one of those damn ledger pages and to put a piece of trash that I liked on mm-hmm. it. And to see it, it took me 8 hours to install the whole thing properly. And it just felt so satisfying to see it start from empty pages to full pages to up on the wall. And I think the text worked really well with the trash. The trash worked really well with the text. And I feel like that was, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's still so what? Good. I mean, now I'm like, well, what? I feel like Miriam had mentioned this before, and I had never thought about it, but she said, well, not that she felt after a while that she didn't know what to do afterwards. Yeah. Like, she's like, how can I top that?
Like, you peaked, and...
yeah, that's how
well,
I feel.
Not really peaked, but, like...
like...
there's, like, this whole other set of pressures, like...
Yeah.
Will my rest of work be that good?
Yeah, and that's how I kind of feel, but in the end, like, I was capable of doing that, and it was so laborious. I'll be able to do it again. I can only get better from here. Yes. As long as I keep trying. But, like, it's, like, a constant battle with myself. Yeah. I see Marissa, like, staring up into this.
No.
And it's, like...
the thing is, because I think so highly of your work, and I'm, like, there, like, I feel like everything you've done is really strong, and I think, like, your more recent work has been more challenging in different ways, and maybe you're not considering the challenge of dealing with more emotional intensive work as a success in its own, which I would definitely be like, well, that's its own like thing to kind of celebrate and look back on, that you did work through those things and that you were giving yourself a different obstacle that a lot of people don't want to deal with, and that is like working through your emotions, identifying those problems, even in the subtleties that you create them. And like, I think that you've done plenty strong, like, I love that piece, but I think you've done plenty stronger work since. So, like, for me, it's like,
whatever, dude.
Whatever, Sarah, you just don't know. Yeah. You just don't understand.
You don't understand.
I am also very hard on myself.
We all are. Like,
yeah. But I think
I mean, like, because I could be the same. Like, I'm like, nothing I ever did was great, so.
I know, you literally had nothing to say for, like, a minute, and we were like, But I think that, that piece worked so well because, like, the like you said, like, the object and the questions and the writing were completely unrelated, and like they were each kind of fulfilling their own thing. Like,
there
you were
so
trying,
many of
and
them.
There were so many of them. Like, there was like all these cool layers, and I think that that's why it was good, because then as a viewer, like, me not knowing, I was trying to figure out, like, well, like, why is she asking these questions about this specific piece? And, like, I was trying to figure that out, so I was more engaged. And then I liked when you presented it in, like, the book.
Binder.
Yeah, and the binder, because I was able to, like, take that time and, like, go back and be like, has this been asked before? Like, why are these two being asked?
I made sure that they were not asked twice.
And, like, I was... yeah,
remember?
So then that would have, like, you would have to go back for that, and, like, you were able to interact with it more, and I feel like maybe, like, it is different from, like, everything that you've done since, because it's so, like, it's not as, like, you can't grab it like that, and you can't flip through it in the same way, and, like, how Marissa said that, I mean, now, like, you're not in the same headspace as you were before, like, you are trying to convey, like, maybe heavier, like, you're trying to go into deeper layers and add those layers into your work, so of course it's going to be way challenging than you just, like, trying to fulfill like two tasks that you wanted to do in this like work. Now there's like so many other things that you have to consider, and I think that you do have to work. Like
much obliged.
Much obliged. Yeah.
Great pep talk, y'all.
That was awesome. I have a sneaky pep talk.
Solo show. What's the date again?
Where?
At the Glass Gallery. I'm gonna have a solo show November 10th to the 16th. I think 10th to the 15th.
I'm gonna be there. Yeah. We're gonna be there.
It's gonna be all new work because I have nothing to show. I think mostly new work or never before seen.
I think that's maybe why you feel like that work was so, like your highest point. Because maybe you feel like you haven't made anything new or like that's completely outside of that.
I mean, my last solo show was mostly new work too. But
I'm saying like now that you have like new work again.
Oh, okay, yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Let's go to the next question.
I'm just gonna stop.
So why are you guys
zooms in one word at a time?
I need new glasses. Oh my god, what if I need those bifocal things? Yikes.
Benjamin Franklin.
Okay, so what about text draws you to it? Why are you guys drawn to using text into your work, and what about it fulfills your need it to be in your work?
I think it goes back to what you said, how you have, well, for me at least, how you said that you had like all of this built up rage or whatever, and that was like an immediate form to like just quickly write it down and just get it over with it and just move on from it or whatever. And I feel like that's what it is for me. Like, it's just like
I just had to throw,
yes, because I mean, I could draw and like I could go into like all of like this motif is like this connection to what I'm trying to say, and like I could like break my head and like, you know, not make it so literal. Like, if I'm sad, I'm not gonna like draw a broken heart. Like, when I can just immediately like, I guess again, treat it like a diary, where I'm just like, which is like just fucking stream of consciousness, like this is how this fucking made me feel. Like, I don't have to explain to anyone what it is. Like, it's just there. It's a mark. Like, if you want to read it, there you go. But you can't. So it's like, it's just like, I think for me, it's like interest. It creates interest in like a quick release form, you know? Because then like words, how you guys were saying, are so like confusing at times also. Like, it has
so many, especially in Spanish. I love those Spanish words that have so many double meanings, or sayings that have double meanings. Stories, lies.
Which one is it?
Mystery, drama. I love that shit.
Murder.
Okay.
Murder mystery. But yeah, that's how I feel about it.
How about you, Marisa?
I'm trying to read the question again.
What about text draws you to, and why do you feel like it fulfills
something you use,
like its purpose in your work? Why text? Why using text?
I think I mentioned this like a couple episodes ago now. I don't even remember. When I was talking about the Chernobyl podcast and how the writer and the actor, they were talking about how like
listening to it. It's great.
Oh my gosh, so great. But how the guy was saying how like you don't, when you're thinking about your character, you're not just thinking about your dialogue. You're thinking about your dialogue in relation to your cast member or the other character. And so for me, like, text becomes, because of the way that I use it, it's more like documentation, proof, evidence of conversations that have happened. Yeah. And for me, the part that's most important to me is the relationship and what you can pick up off someone's relationship based off the kind of conversation or the way that it's directed towards you. And so you might read a line and interpret it being, it's kind of like when you get a text message and like there's no emojis, there's nothing, you don't know like if they're saying it passive, happy, sad, like, and I like that because that gives the viewer an opportunity to interpret it their own way, but also they have kind of like, they're trying to interpret it in their own way, but maybe putting me as the subject or who's the receiver.
Yeah.
And so I like having text as, like I said, evidence or proof of conversations that happen between one or more people, And then that gives the viewer an opportunity to say, like, who's, what's going on? Who's this discussion being, like, being held between? Who's directing this line? Is someone hearing this? Is it and of course always a question like, is it related to the image? How is it working compositionally on the page? But for me, it's always about the relationships that we have with each other and the kind of expression and dialogue that we can have depending on how we feel we are like on that level with that person.
Last question, because this sounds like redundant to everything you said. Do you guys feel like, is text necessary to your work?
I think so. Because
you think so?
I think so. Like, I can't picture, like, doing fine artwork that doesn't have text. And I mean, like, Kim kind of, he got onto, like, I think more than a few of us about, like, abusing text or relying on it or not working enough on the imagery.
But then I feel like, okay, yes.
I think Terry corrected him. He's like, she told him to back
off.
Yeah, because then, like we said in the beginning, at a certain point, or like the whole, also a thing that we consider is that it is mark-making, and it is like a whole image on its own. Like, that's, I feel like that's the way we treat it, like all three of us. So then being like very controlling about the text, because he doesn't know, or like they don't know if like it correlates or like with the image, so maybe like you aren't being like repetitive, or it's not like very like, oh, I'm gonna put like text because like I want to like have this like cheesy phrase, yeah, like like fuck the page, like shit like that, like come on dude, like
do better,
like make me like make me interested, yeah, with like one word, like I don't know. So I think, sorry, I didn't
text finish. Is necessary.
Yeah, Marissa thinks that.
No, and I was just gonna say, like we had, well, I found a list of artists, like, and I've already studied some of them in art history, and I'm sure some of you will be familiar with them, but like Barbara Kruger, Jenny Holzer, Ed Ruscha, Christopher Wool, Bruce Nauman, and even what's the name of the artist we were talking about where like he had the print and then like the, with all the marks of like how it aged and it was damaged and like that was all
Glenn
text.
Legal.
Yeah, Glenn Legal.
My
and, like,
dear. I love him.
Like, look at all those artists who strictly, like, text is that, is the whole image. It's not even, like, a collage of the two or a collaboration of the two. That is the whole thing. So how is that not a valid form of mark making?
Yeah.
And why should I be restricted
limited.
To, or limited on how much I can use so long as I feel it's aiding the work? And I think,
I mean, Talba Auerbach, all her stuff is calligraphy based.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I don't know.
It's true. Yeah, I also feel that. What's going on?
Oh, yeah, I
didn't know. Oh, your God, the chills.
Stop.
So, yeah, I do feel that text. Oh, you have to answer.
If text is important, like
necessary
to my work. I feel like for my work only. Only for me, no. I feel like sometimes, like, I could do without text. And, like, I have tried where, like, in the past where it was just, like, an image and, like, that's all you get or, like, because, you know, compositionally or whatever, like, it would stand on its own as, like, an image or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it's necessary on some work. Like, I know, like, I do say that it does sometimes rely on the text, or like the whole piece is about what I'm like writing, but I wouldn't say like as a whole. Actually, no, I take that back. It is
necessary.
It is.
I don't think it has to be in like every single piece of work I do.
Yeah. Okay. I
think
that's what I'm trying.
Text.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was because I do want to say that it is necessary because, like I said before, it is like a new, like another outlet where like I can like quickly jot down or like have that point across without like doing this whole other thing, or like it's easier to like erase and then you can create like layers with that and like also, it's like you can just put it on any guy. You can abuse it, and it could just be like your own, like. You can, like, write secret messages to yourself.
Like, and I think also, like, just to add that text.
the Morse code.
Oh, my God. And how they couldn't even, like, decipher it in class. I think that, are we going to talk about, like, how big the text is? Because you can have text in very, very miniature ways, you know? Yeah. Or, like, how we were saying.
Composition
and your handwriting.
Where it is.
Like,
yeah.
How you're doing.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, like, those things are also part of the process. Like, we're, like, we. But I feel like it's just not, like, I'm gonna, like, write, like, all ugly. Well, not ugly, but, like.
All caps. Yeah.
All caps. Okay, I write in all caps. But then I, like, hide it. It's just. There's, like. Like, okay.
Like, stressing out over here.
I like, stop roasting me. But, okay, no. Because then, it, like, what text or, like, what writing do you treat more precious? Like, the writings that I did on the pillowcases, like, I, like, took my time and I tried to do, like, Cholo-style text and, like, kind of, like, do, like, that thing and really, really take my time. And even in that same piece, there's, like, small, like, writings that I did that I just really didn't really care what it looked like. That mm-hmm. I just wanted to incorporate it. And it doesn't... I guess because it's more personal, I just wanted to be, like, kind of hidden and, like, easily, like, looked past. Like, maybe, like, I made a mistake and I left it there.
The overlook.
But yeah, like, how do you guys even decide that, like, what goes in cursive, what goes, like, is it all just, like, composition, aesthetic, like, what will work with the piece? Like, does that matter to what the writing itself is saying? Like, if it's a softer phrase, like, are you gonna do cursive or are you gonna make it lighter?
Well, I overall, if I do writing and it's mm-hmm. handwriting, mm-hmm. it's just, like, straight to my own handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
But I have done work where I incorporate, like, typed out writing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, found writing. Like, for example, receipts mm-hmm. or, like, mm-hmm. like the ledger paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's all block printing or, like, whatever mm-hmm. they used. So I guess I do think about composition and how interesting the image would be
mm-hmm.
with my text. That's very loopy
mm-hmm.
with these rigid straight lines that dictate
mm-hmm.
order. Where my writing is kind of, like, it's not disorderly, but, like, it kind of, like, loops, I guess.
It is very round.
Yeah.
Like, it's
loopy. But, yeah, to answer my own question,
mm-hmm.
is text necessary to your work? Yes, but, like, it doesn't always have to be written for me. For example, I keep harping on this, but, like, my trip to Monte Cristo... Like, the whole time, I'm thinking about why am I going up this damn mountain with this ironing board? And I'm thinking about reverence. I'm thinking about the duty of a woman. I'm thinking about, like, all these things that had a very heavy weight on me. And, like, these words that really made it difficult for me to live happily because I had to abide by them. Which is also why I did the Ten Commandments work, which it was, you were there for
mm-hmm.
when I read it out loud.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you felt it, but, like, Jess told me, like, reading it out loud really, like, brought the work to life because,
mm-hmm.
like, I needed to say it out loud.
Yeah.
I needed to be Moses reading it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The commandments. Yeah.
And just changing one word really changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, kind of, I kept more or less, yeah, whatever. But, like...
Stop! Don't cut yourself.
Always cut yourself.
It's because I go on and on and it's dumb. But,
it's a podcast.
It's a podcast.
Well, the point is, words are very... Text is necessary to my work because
mm-hmm.
of the words. And
okay.
not all words are written for me because some of them are acted upon. Like, when
mm-hmm.
I broke all the plates,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk about the plates because they mean a lot to me, but
mm-hmm.
I broke them. And I don't know, just certain actions that I do, which I'm barely finding out that I am also
more or less a performance artist, mm-hmm.
We all saw that. I don't know how you did not see this.
I just did stupid shit. That's how I saw mm-hmm. it. But even the... Okay, whatever. But
you're so annoying.
You come to my home.
Because I want to listen.
You're on my podcast.
I want to listen your full thought.
Well, like, also the 108 pieces, which is me walking around downtown, mm-hmm. finding all these trash, mm-hmm. and then making myself write all these damn mm-hmm. questions, which is making me think more about how I work and why I work the way I mm-hmm. do, and to come up with more work for my solo show. So thank you all. You were all a part of this thinking process. I'm not finishing the podcast. I'm just thinking. You're like looking at me.
She's like,
that's all they get to hear. You'll see the work, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but text is necessary process. Because of the words mm-hmm. for me.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's way better than me just saying that I'm just, like, a psychopath. That I just need, like, for all of the attention to be about my...
about your feelings?
About my feelings. Feelings.
Well, that's it, right? I don't have any more questions. Do you all have anything else to add? Any questions?
I think we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this was a good one, too.
I want to say something so bad, but I don't know.
Say it!
I don't know what.
Oh,
you just want to say something to say something?
Because
words are necessary.
Words are necessary for this podcast. In itself, this is an art. This is where, like, making small pieces of art. This is a performance.
So all right.
Well, thank you so much for coming over today and recording with us.
Yeah,
thank you guys
for 2 whole episodes.
Woo!
And hopefully you can come back again.
Yeah, if you guys enjoy me,
give us a thumbs up. Just
give me a thumbs up.
Give her a 5-star rating on Apple. Yeah. We're on Apple Podcast now, y'all.
Woo! I don't know what that means.
It's because, like, when we first started, like we were only on Spotify mm-hmm. and then, like, certain, like, podcasting apps, which I don't think anybody ever downloads additional apps.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have Spotify, so, like, you can listen on Spotify. That's the way I listen to. But I also usually listen to podcasts on Apple Podcasts. The only reason why I stopped was so that I could listen to all my podcasts on Spotify so I can include us.
Uh-huh.
But now... we're on, like, the iTunes. Like, the app, like, if you have an iPhone, it comes with the podcast app on there.
Oh,
and
sweet.
You're just, like, good to go. And you can get, like, ratings and,
so
like,
now you guys don't have excuses.
Can you put comments?
Yeah, you can rate it. You can comment it. Yeah, yeah.
Email us. Email the Sundays at Sarah's.
Yeah, so if you guys would like to give us some feedback, drop in a few questions, or suggest any future episodes, you can always email us at sundaysatsarahs@gmail.com or drop us a little cute DM on sundaysatsarahs or Instagram. And thank God we don't have a Twitter. Thank God we don't, because that would be a lot of ucky.
That would be a lot. Do you guys, you can have a Tumblr.
Or LinkedIn.
A Tumblr.
I don't know why people hate so much on Tumblr. I love Tumblr.
I used to be a Tumblr girl.
I wanted to be so bad,
you know,
but like I couldn't.
No, no,
I
wasn't
a Tumblr girl.
No, I wasn't a Tumblr. I'm saying
I like Tumblr.
Yeah,
No, that's what I meant. Like I wanted to be like using Tumblr so much, but like
I
like never followed
it.
The right people, or like I was like always like bored. So I was like, this is.
I think I like it because I know that no one will ever check my Tumblr, and I can, like,
now
sometimes
we're gonna look for you.
Like sometimes I just need to release onto like the fucking internet or like whatever
into
like,
the void,
just into the fucking void in the matrix, like, and like I could just post it, and I know that nobody will ever see it, and I'm just like
satisfied.
I'm satisfied.
Wow, I should do that.
Yes, and like I told my friend, like I was at like a bar, and like I told her to like look for something that I had posted
uh-huh.
on my Tumblr, like a fucking nerd, and because I wanted to show my friend that was with me, and I was like, can you please go onto my Tumblr, like, and check this out for me? And then she was like, I guess, and like she did, and like she sent it to me, and then I was like, I'm so sorry that you had to scroll all those emo ass posts. and like random ass thoughts and like pictures. And I'm sorry that you had to see that dark side of me. But I guess because it's like a diary, like. It's not as serious as Twitter. Like, yeah. You can literally pour your heart
Twitter
out.
Twitter is serious?
People
it's
take
big,
it very...
It's very... Yeah, yeah.
It's the culture.
It's, like,
it's
so funny,
e-culture.
But you can... It can be taken, like...
It's just too much backlash. Like, we can't do that. Like... And then... I don't know. We're not gonna get into this. But...
This is another episode.
This is another episode.
Bumps,
neither have I. But...
I'm on Twitter.
You know,
I hate when, like, people will tell me, oh, this person, like, posted this about you on Twitter. And I'm like, how do these people know me? Like, why are you getting your gossip from Twitter? Like, why are you getting the gossip
Twitter
at
news.
All? Yeah, it's, like, Twitter news about, like, random El Paso culture. Thumbs up if you want an episode about El Paso culture. And if we should do a social art experiment. And
that sounds kind of cool.
Ooh,
this is how we really
have
to be
podcast
cut.
Episode.
Okay. A mess.
Well, thank you guys. Thank you all for tuning in. As always, it's me, Sarah, Miriam's not here.
Oh my God.
Marisa, and this time, Vanya.
I guess.
Miriam is here in spirit.
Yes.
Miriam's
always
here.
With us.
She protected us during the spooky episode.
She did. All right. Aww.
Okay,
bye.
Like, am I talking to like my mom or something? Bye, love you.
Love you guys so much.
Do you guys have an outro song?
No, my sister's supposed to work on one on the ukulele.
Should
for
it
her,
just be
hasn't.
The sound of the freeway?
El Paso things.
Just El Paso things.
El Paso things. It should be like
construction.
People screaming on the I-10.
You know what? I went to Matas earlier, and the...
Matas okay. Noises?
Yeah, beeping. There's, like, so much traffic to get to Juarez. There's a
yeah.
Lot of traffic. I've never seen that like that, because I never go there. But, yeah, that's this time.
That's a spot.
Okay, this is the longest outro, but...
This is the song will be remixed by Marissa's sister. Stay on the lookout.
Yeah, someday.
Thank
it's
you all
be on
for
iTunes.
Tuning
okay,
in.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Oh,
bye.
Thank
Sweet.
Y'all.
Thank y'all.
Thank y'all.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.